Hey, fanboys and girls, you're listening to Fanboys with Nate and Adam. This week's episode, we're going to be talking about San Diego Comic-Con 2019. We've got a lot of content to follow for you guys today, so let's just get to it.
I watched the whole hour and a half. Michael Rosenbaum, Tom Welling.
Oh, really?
Yes. You sent it to me, so I was like, okay, this is what Silo wants me to do. So I spent an hour and a half.
Oh, that's my bad. That was just a fun aside because I was watching it towards the end of work today.
And I thought, damn it, this is 2017. This can't be San Diego Comic-Con. But he sent it to me, so I will do it.
That's my fault. I'm sorry, Nate.
It's fine. I mean, it wasn't a bad pod.
It was his very first episode.
But I don't think it was, like, the most relevant for our thing today, and it took an hour and a half of my time.
Sorry, that's totally my fault.
But I was like, okay, well, I don't know. Maybe this is what he wants to talk about for some reason. I don't know. And then if he's going to talk about that, I have to be ready because I have to watch the video.
No, the only video, really, that I was hoping you had watched, I don't know if it officially went through, but there's a little bit of leaked footage of the brand new, soon to come out, Marvel's Avengers. I'm guessing it's multiplayer. But that game looks sick, and I was hoping it's a multiplayer thing so that those of us that are interested in playing together can play online.
There's a Marvel video game?
Yeah, Marvel Avengers. So remember the one that we used to play over at John's? It was an RPG with all the Marvel characters.
Oh, I remember Marvel Avengers Alliance.
Yeah, Avengers Alliance.
Yeah, we played 1 and 2.
Something like that, but I mean, if it's anything like that, it's more tailored to what I've been looking for, which is basically like a Halo game type gameplay of Avengers. The video graphics and stuff are much more high-end instead of like a low-key RPG, and the gameplay looks really awesome, so it might be looking like we're going to get what I've been waiting for them to make forever.
I prefer third person over first person.
Really?
Yes.
Because I just don't care for, with the ones that we played, like, you all have to huddle together in the same area.
Not going to have split screen, then you have to have it that way.
Yeah, see, that's what I want, split screen. Because I want to be able to be the characters and be on the same team on same missions, but, like, go to the one corner of the play field where I can do something and another character has to go to another end of the play area to do a different part of the mission.
Yeah, except they don't do split screen in games anymore. Everyone just sits at home and links up.
Well, yeah, you can make it like that.
Yeah.
All right, so San Diego Comic-Con.
It is a thing that I've heard of. I spent all weekend working long hours, so I couldn't follow it very closely.
This is the first time, specifically, obviously, for the purposes of the podcast. I did a decent job trying to follow as much of the news that I could, as much as I was on Facebook all weekend. I just saw a post of new news that I didn't hear before and saved it aside. And then by the end of the weekend, I had a bucket full of stuff to go over. San Diego Comic-Con is the big kahuna of the country. I have attempted two separate occasions to try and buy tickets to go to it. I was unsuccessful both times. I unfortunately will probably still be unsuccessful many times in the future because the system that they have put together to get tickets, in my opinion, is unfair. It's like a lottery, and some people want to go. But anyway, a lot of the stuff that came out of the news that I saved aside was Marvel-oriented. And the biggest thing that I don't even think you could say came exactly from San Diego Comic-Con, it just happened to be the same weekend, Avengers finally won top grossing film of all time. It beat Avatar.
Yes, because they cheated.
What, because they came out with newer content?
They re-released the entire movie with a couple bonus scenes. James Cameron just released a movie.
That's a fair point. However, I did end up going to see my third time for seeing Endgame in theaters, the version that had the extra content at the end, and I wasn't expecting a whole lot, but if I didn't already tell you, they had a pretty cool thing that they added at the end that was worth going to see again. What they did was put together an extended tribute to Stan Lee and all of his behind-the-scenes cameos that he had for all the Marvel movies, which I thought was, I had no idea that that was what they were going to do going in. So I was pleasantly surprised. And on top of that, they also did a deleted scene with Hulk and I think a clip for Spider-Man Far From Home because this new version was released before Spidey came out in theaters. But the surprise for Stan Lee, I thought was well worth going to see because it was very, you know, hats off to Stan. It was very cool.
I mean, that's all well and good, and I wouldn't mind watching the tribute when it appears on YouTube, mm-hmm. but it's not worth me going to the theater again to artificially inflate their numbers.
Agree to disagree. I wanted Avengers to be number one. So call it cheating if you must, but Avengers are hats off to you. You are now the top grossing film of all time.
If they wanted Avengers to be number one without cheating, they could have just made a better movie.
Or just left it in theaters longer.
That's up to the theaters. That's not up to the studio.
In your opinion, was Avatar a better movie than Endgame?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't. But that's me. I have different preferences than the general population of the Earth.
The other biggest thing that they dropped during San Diego Comic-Con, or this is actually the first point for San Diego, Phase 4 of the MCU. I'm guessing that you at least read through some of those.
I have looked at the Phase 4 quote-unquote chart, which shows the movies for Phase 4 and the dates they come out.
Some of them, if I remember correctly, they've got actual targeted dates. Some of them are only slotted for certain seasons within the next couple of years, so like summer 2020, summer 2021, what have you. But
correct.
The list breakdown, which I even had a couple in here that I was very pleasantly surprised to see. I had no idea they were doing, or at least I wasn't paying close enough attention. They have Black Widow, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Eternals, Shang-Chi Legend of Rings, Wanda and Vision, Doc Strange Multiverse of Madness, Loki, Marvel What If, Hawkeye, Thor Love and Thunder, and Blade. Which of those were your favorite ones that stood out to you can't wait for?
There's a lot here to unpack. I want to start with Black Widow.
Okay.
Because we knew this was coming. This was announced before Avengers Endgame that there would be a Black Widow movie.
And it's been long overdue, especially for Michelle being another huge Black Widow fan, and other women out there have been wanting her to have a standalone movie, and we're finally going to get one.
I'm happy to have a Black Widow movie. I'm looking forward to the Black Widow movie, but I really think they're going to screw this up.
Is that because, to touch on another topic that we had discussed in one of our earlier episodes, you don't want them to, at the very least, you don't want them to address the Budapest storyline between her and Hawkeye?
That's correct, Silo. They're going to make this movie about Budapest with Black Widow and Hawkeye and whatever happens in Hungary. And because it's been alluded to throughout multiple Avengers movies. And this is a mistake, because having Budapest be an inside joke and a mystery between these two characters is what makes the joke so good. And it adds in a level of world expansion. It makes the environment richer and deeper. And the Black Widow movie should not be about Budapest. It should be about something completely different to maintain that depth and breadth of the MCU.
Did you see who the villains?
I know nothing about Black Widow movie.
They have, the only thing that I saw in terms of plot, and it was just, what do you call, promo art, or not even promo art, sketch work. The villain is going to be, drumroll, Taskmaster.
Taskmaster.
Yeah.
An interesting choice.
Definitely one that hasn't been done before. I know a little bit about Taskmaster, only probably because of him being inserted into different Marvel games and stuff I've played. I know, I'm guessing he's kind of a lower level one, which makes sense for him to go up against someone like Black Widow, but I'm nevertheless excited.
Taskmaster's doesn't have any big flashy power set, which makes him great for the high skill characters like Black Widow and Hawkeye, you know, assassin soldier type people. So that'll be really interesting and a lot of fun. The next thing to touch on chronologically is the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Now, that's the one I would have guessed that you're going to be the most excited about.
So I'm very excited for The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm a big Captain America fan, and the last movie really set up these two as the passing of the – he literally passed the shield. They had the passing of the torch to Falcon, with Winter Soldier and Falcon coming together as pals. When they first met, they were very hostile, didn't trust each other. And I plan on getting a Disney Plus subscription for 1 month, binge watching the entire season, and then deleting my prescription until the next season comes out.
That's another actually interesting aside, because yes, some of these, I think Wanda and Vision is another one that's supposed to be on the streaming service that I keep forgetting. It's not going to be a movie or a normal cable television show. I have yet to decide how I'm going to do that, because, you know, figure out a budget of trying to add another streaming service and stuff. But I am tempted. I'm not saying I won't. But it's something definitely to consider and see how it goes.
Well, one thing I won't do is just keep collecting streaming services indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that our listeners or the American consumer or international consumer is going to keep doing it either. You know, we all got Netflix, and it was fine when Netflix was the only game in town.
But now it's a streaming war.
But now we have Hulu, and we have HBO, and now Disney's doing this, and it's going to keep snowballing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only so many streaming services that people are going to be willing to pay for simultaneously.
Yeah.
We all cut the cable, or most people that I know have cut the cable.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are subscribing to every streaming service, then it starts to look like your cable bill all over again.
Yeah, very true.
And that's not okay.
The only other alternative I can think of is, and I still have more research to do it, but when you've got a streaming service specific series, like, for example, Stranger Things, which is another thing I feel like we've got to do a show on eventually, because I watched that and I'm in love with that show. That's Netflix specific, and it is out on disc. So if you didn't want to actually pay to have the streaming service all the time, you could just collect the discs or rent them or whatever. Viable alternative. I still have yet to consider which one I would do.
I was a big Game of Thrones fan, and I would activate the service for the season of Game of Thrones and then deactivate it when the season was over.
Interesting.
And during that time, I would watch Game of Thrones, but I would watch other things on HBO.
Mm.
But it's not worth having HBO all the time.
Yeah.
On top of my Netflix. So.
Fair enough.
That's me. I'm on a fixed income. I'm on a budget like most people.
Mm-hmm.
So while but I'm very much looking forward to Falcon Winter Soldier. I think it has a lot of potential. They have the actors from the movies coming into play. Reprise their roles, and that'll be great. And while we're on that, let's just cover all of the Disney pluses, and then we'll come back around to the movies.
The other one that I am aware of would be Wanda and Vision. Which is another one I'd be really interested in seeing. I'm a big fan of Elizabeth Olsen, and not just this character that she plays for the MCU. I like a lot of stuff she's in. I like her character, and I always blank on the name of the actor that plays Vision, but I like his stuff as well, and I like the two of them together in these roles.
So, as someone who grew up in the '90s watching Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, I'm predisposed to enjoy the work of Olsens.
Right. As was I.
I like the work of Elizabeth Olsen in these movies playing Wanda Maximoff.
Mm-hmm.
She's done a good job as the character, and I enjoy watching her be Wanda Maximoff. And if the show is available on Disney Plus at the same time as Falcon and Winter Soldier, I will watch that too, probably, or at least check it out.
Yeah.
It's not enough for me to get Disney Plus just to watch WandaVision, but if it's around, I'll give it a look.
That's like some of the other ones that are on the Marvel radar on streaming services, I think, on Hulu. Like, I tried to pick up, but haven't yet. I still don't know if I will. They had Cloak and Dagger
Cloak and Dagger.
I never watched it. I'm aware of the characters. Did you watch it?
I've seen every episode of Cloak and Dagger.
All right, we'll have to backlog and come back to that one for another episode.
Get your life together, Silo.
That's a fair enough point. I feel like I should be the one watching everything Marvel Video. But I mean, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I tried watching just to see how to be able to collect on any interconnectings, but I've fallen off the last season. I appreciate all the actors. I like the people on, especially Coulson. Who doesn't love Coulson? But they've announced also at San Diego that the next season is going to be the last. Honestly, I thought this current one that just is airing now was their last one. That's how much I've been following that. But that one, Cloak and Dagger, was the other one that I watched a little bit of the Mutants one on Hulu. The Gifted. Yeah. The Gifted I've watched, I kind of like, but still not one that I feel that I have to be glued to every week like Flash.
That's DC. We're talking about Marvel right now, Silo. We'll talk about DC later.
Fine. But yeah, there's some out that float out there that I don't follow. So I see your point with you know, weighing the pros and cons of buying a new streaming service.
There's so many superhero shows out there right now. You just within the MCU, you can't watch them all. It's too much content.
They're milking it for
our listeners. For our listeners, that's where you and I come in. For us to tell them what is garbage, yes, so that they can save their time and money.
Yes.
Because we're all busy. Most of us are busy adults. Yes. And if you are an adult with a life, you can't possibly watch all the things.
Yes. In fact, I think that's exactly one of the major reasons that spawned my idea for this show, for our podcast, because I already am a victim of content fatigue, if you want to call it that, because there's just too much stuff to follow.
Sure. Sure. We have less of a life than other people, so mm-hmm. we can see more content. But for those with real lives, they have to pick and choose. And don't worry, I'll tell you what's the best.
We're here to help you make good decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next is the Marvel Studios What If on Disney Plus.
Oh, shoot. I thought that was going to be a full movie. All right.
So for those of you who don't know, What If storylines are things that Marvel Comics do periodically, where they take a normal character or normal universe and they twist it somehow, and they just do a short run. Think of it as a comic book miniseries where they've changed something fundamental to see what would happen. So it's a way to reimagine a hero or a world and kind of have some fun for the readers and the fans, and also for the people who write the comics and ink the comics. So
that's fun, because
we're going to see really fun things with that, because everything's a one-off, or they could just do it seasonally.
Right.
Like American Horror Story.
Yeah, yeah.
Where each season is different. They could do that with the What If.
See, that would be, I'd be in for that for sure. And that's fun too, because if they're originally tailored to just be little one-offs, something like Spider-Gwen ended up being really popular, and that's still going, and it's become its own huge thing on its own.
Yeah, it has a lot of really fun potential. Still not worth me getting Disney Plus, but if I get Disney Plus for a month and it's there, I will check it out for the listeners and let them know.
I'll be interested to see your thoughts following the release of it. All right, were there any other ones on the streaming list?
There's two more, Silo. Okay, Loki is the next one.
I thought Loki was one.
So Loki's on there. I assume it's going to be Tom playing Loki. Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun. I don't know how many seasons that's going to go or what it's going to be about. It, obviously, as a television program, it's not going to have such broad spectrum stuff as a movie, but you could get much more deeper into the character with a lot of different little things. And we'll just have to see. Or it won't be Tom Hiddleston at all. It'll be a young Loki played by a younger actor.
I could see that. I mean, I
like
know
a
everyone...
Smallville for the MCU.
Yeah.
The next one on Disney Plus is Hawkeye. I could see Jeremy Renner taking a TV acting role for an extended period of time, just like Falcon Winter Soldier, if he wanted to. And Hawkeye could definitely be, he's so low-key, you could have a spy thriller.
Yeah, for
about
sure.
About Hawkeye for five seasons.
For sure. And I don't know if he... if he or the studios officially addressed that he would be playing the character, but I did see him promote announcements for it. So maybe he would. And I've become a huge Jeremy Renner fan in general. I mean, obviously I love his character as Hawkeye. He was a lot of fun to watch in Endgame. I will forever promote his little buddy comedy tag, because that was just a hell of a lot of fun.
That was a really fun movie. I recommend it to people.
Yes. And
listeners, if you have not seen the movie Tag, based on a true story, it is worth an hour and a half of your time. But go see it with friends.
Yes, it is definitely – it beckons you to bring a group of friends, and it is definitely rewatchable. Another podcast that I've recently started listening to is done by Justin Long.
This is the only podcast you need, listeners. Disregard all other podcasts. All other podcasts are inferior to this, and they're cheap knockoffs of what we do. How dare you promote another podcast?
I heard Jeremy Renner interviewed on another show, and it was a fun listen because I got to I got to learn a little bit more about Jeremy Renner. He's a fun guy.
You sit on a throne of lies. You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Hashtag name that movie.
Is that directed at me, or do you want the listeners to name the movie?
Go for it.
You don't think I know Elf when I hear it?
Fair enough. You got it.
Don't play hashtag name that movie with me. I will wreck your world.
I think I've just come up with a new format little game for our show. Hashtag name that movie.
I mean, I will go across the Arctic Sea. I will walk through the Gumdrop Forest. I will walk through the Lincoln Tunnel. I will wreck you.
I have no doubt that you could beat me on a lot, but it would be a fun game that we could pose to our listeners.
They'll wreck you too. You're the worst at this.
I mean, not the worst. Those are strong fighting words, Nate.
7.5 billion people in the world. You are the worst at hashtag in that movie.
Fuck you. Anyway, back to MCU.
Yes, that is the last of the Disney Plus that was announced at the Comic-Con.
Okay.
So we're going back to movies now with the Eternals.
Okay, so... in my realm, that kind of lands on the same playing field as one of the Marvel ones. They did a movie? Or no, they had a clip of a series that they put in movie previews for.
That's the Inhumans.
Inhumans. That's kind of where it lands on my radar. Is I didn't know too much about it until I started seeing the content for it come out. But yes,
no, this is completely different than the Inhumans.
I'm just saying in terms of knowledge.
Oh, well, we all know more about the Inhumans than we know about the Eternals. Well, at least you and I. And by you and I mean me. I know something about the Inhumans. I know nothing about the Eternals. By the name, I imagine they're some sort of immortals.
I would guess so, too. What about Shang-Chi?
I'm going to have to educate myself before the movie. So Shang-Chi is the next one. So this is great. I don't know much about Shang-Chi, but I'm happy to see... a non-white superhero in a Marvel movie taking a lead role.
Totally.
This is great. I'm sure this Simi Liu, however you pronounce his name, guy, is going to do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And really looking forward to that diversity and the expansion of the MCU.
Moving on to the next one that I'm very excited to see another chapter for, is Doc Strange. Especially linking to the multiverse storyline, which I think should be a lot of fun.
So we knew another Doctor Strange movie was coming because all title movies in the MCU get three, all title characters. So this is the second Doctor Strange movie, and it makes complete sense that it's multiversal. We just had a universal threat in the person of Thanos, and Doctor Strange fought Dormammu in his first movie, which lives in another dimension. So... the MCU Phase 4 has to push into the multiverse, and Doctor Strange is the Sorcerer Supreme for the job.
True.
So I'm looking forward to it. I have no idea what the multiverse of Madness is going to entail, but Doctor Strange will be in it. It'll be a lot of fun, and it'll set the tone for whatever the big multiversal threat is that the Avengers are going to have to face by the end of Phase 4.
Well, if I read correctly, I also think that they said, at least in this phase, there's not going to be another Avengers movie. That doesn't mean that in some capacity, at least in my mind, that the roster of the Avengers will become new, you know, as they kind of made the reference for at the end of Age of Ultron. It just might not be focused on in Phase 4, but if nothing else, I am definitely curious as to the main threat that they're going to make for this. Now, I think we've discussed it in one of our previous episodes. I am definitely hoping that they try to go the route of Galactus, or who else did we say? Kang the Conqueror would be potential.
Yes.
But yeah, that's something I'm looking forward to them announcing. I want to see what the next big, the next Thanos is.
So there were no Avengers movies in Phase 1, and I don't think the Avengers movie started until Phase 2.
Okay.
Of the Marvel MCU.
Okay.
So I think Avengers 1 and 2 were in Phase 2, and then Avengers 3 and 4 were in Phase 3.
So that's fair. So this could, following suit almost, just be them lining up the new roster characters until they create their newest team, if you want to call it that.
Right. If you're MCU Studios, you're not going to think that this is all going to end at Phase 4, right? Not when the money's pouring in this good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how long this goose is going to keep laying golden eggs, but at the late 90s, early 2000s, Marvel was dead broke. They thought the comic might close down. Like the So Phase 4 is what we're in now, but they might be projecting out to Phase 6 at this point in their fantasy boardrooms.
I would love to be a fly on that
At least talking about a Phase 5. So you can't have the Avengers reassemble yet because no one has risen yet to reassemble them. With Cap and Iron Man both gone, who would reassemble the Avengers?
That's a good question.
So they have to develop these personalities through Phase 4 in order to reassemble anything in Phase 5.
Now, what are your thoughts on Thor and his next installment?
I'm extremely excited about Thor: Love and Thunder.
Did you actually see...
I can't wait.
Did you see the bit about what I think that movie is going to actually have to do with, other than just the title?
Yes, I know. I know what you're asking. Do you know what you're asking?
Jane Foster get to play the female version of Thor and lift Mjolnir.
So I'm very excited for Natalie Portman to reprise her role as Jane Foster. Natalie Portman is a fantastic actress. I love everything that she does, and she'll do a great job at this. The Jane Foster Thor is beloved in the comics, and her run as the God of Thunder was very successful.
It's one I actually haven't read. I only saw news bits about it when it was first a thing, if I remember correctly, but never read any of the storylines. But I think it sounds fun.
Yeah, Jane Foster makes a fantastic Thunder God. She does really good work while Thor is busy being unworthy and doing other things. So Thor: Love and Thunder is going to be an absolute blast.
What about another character that you enlightened me on way back in the day? I know that you've got to be hopeful to see a big screen version of Betteray Bill if they were to ever introduce him into the Thor canon.
I do like Betteray Bill. I don't think he's going to make an appearance in the MCU. We'll see more homages to him like we did in Ragnarok, but I don't think we're going to see Betteray or his people appear in the MCU, which is fine. I'm okay with that. We have...
You don't think he can come through the Guardians somehow?
Well, Thor's in space, so yeah. If he's going to encounter Bill, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll happen. And I'm not against it happening. At all.
Neither of us are against being able to see Betteray Bill.
But the MCU has a version of Stormbreaker now.
Yes.
So Stormbreaker exists in the MCU, but they have not yet reconstituted Mjolnir.
I mean,
so if Thor doesn't have a spare weapon to hand somebody as of right now.
If nothing else, I feel like Stormbreaker and the allude to him in Thor Ragnarok could be hints that they intend to put him on screen sooner or later, and it just could end up being a big surprise to everybody.
Oh, because they showed a Corbinite?
Yeah.
Corbinite is the species that Bedrill belongs to.
Yeah.
For listeners who did not know.
All right, so I can't remember which of my friends, it might have been John, who expressed a lot of interest in wanting to have Blade redone, but it's finally going to happen.
It is.
And if I remember seeing correctly, also, I think that our new Blade is going to be the actor who played Cottonmouth in Luke Cage.
Luke Cage.
Luke Cage.
Luke Cage, which is a fantastic series that everyone should watch. It is amazing. Season one was insanely well done.
It was
on
yeah.
all levels of artistic creation. Season two, very, very enjoyable, but season one is absolutely worth your time.
It was fun. I think it did well for the character as its own little one-off in a way, but fed into the Defenders, which was really cool. But if I'm correct in that, I wonder how that's supposed to play for their Eye of Continuity. Maybe he's supposed to be another multiverse version as he comes into the MCU, because I can't think of another instance where Marvel has taken an actor on screen for one of their installments and then turned him into another character.
Yes. Nobody would ever think that the kid who played Johnny Storm would go on to play Captain America. That would be crazy.
No, that's not the same thing. I'm saying that if this is the same actor, I'm pretty sure I'm correct, that played in an MCU installment, because Fantastic Four was not MCU. That's outside of MCU. So it's the same actor playing two different characters in the MCU. You get what I'm saying.
It is. So the actor that's slotted to play Blade is, let me think of his name. I have trouble pronouncing it. Mahershala Ali. I really enjoyed his work in Remember the Titans. He played the lead role in Remember the Titans and did a great job many, many years ago. So yes, you have an actor going from having played a role in the MCU, quote-unquote, television program to now a movie. But it's unclear how much the TV shows and the movies interact. Because it gets really convoluted.
And they did what they wanted to consider as their best to actually tie them together. They did mentions of it. They mentioned the incident a lot, which is supposed to reference the first Avengers. They talk about Captain America or Thor and Hulk and stuff like that. But yeah, I want to say that, like, it's been so long since the first one started, which was Daredevil. But I think that Samuel Jackson and Colby Smulders might have been on them at one point or another. But yeah, you're right. But I just wonder, because I think that's the first instance I can think of. Even doing a good job of continuity. What was it? His cousin, the actress that played his cousin, and I don't remember the character's name, but on Luke Cage,
she
came back and played a bit in Civil War. She was the
correct.
Yeah, she was the character that was the catalyst to start Tony's, like, we gotta be per registration. So I thought that was really well done.
She does not play the same character in both, does she? Or is she the same character both times?
It's not specified, but I think it's implied.
Okay, well then that's a beautiful tie-in.
Yeah.
She does play Black Mariah. She does a great job. That actress does a great job in Luke Cage. Another reason to go see Luke Cage is to see how well acted the villains are, or the antagonists. They're really complex, fully fledged characters, and both the writing and the acting are dynamite. That said, I have no problem with Mahershala Ali playing the new Blade. I don't know how much Blade is going to be interacting with the rest of the MCU, because he is an incredibly violent character.
Just think about Punisher.
Right. Well, Punisher kills people.
True.
Blade
so,
kills vampires.
Right.
But the Wesley Snipes movies shows an incredibly violent Blade, and the MCU could very much be trying to get an R rating in these Blade movies to compete with Deadpool. Deadpool proved that R-rated superhero movies can make money.
Mm-hmm.
And Blade is a MCU, it's a Marvel title that they can they can show an incredibly violent anti-hero and rake in some of that beautiful R-rated money.
Yeah, Blade's going to be an interesting take for us to take a close look and see how they intend to, I would imagine, contrast themselves to the original Blade series, because you're right, it was very graphic, and not just in blood, but, I mean, it had nudity, it had just all kinds of gory looking, just...
All the good stuff.
I mean, stuff that you would almost, to the extent, want to see in, like, Logan. I mean, I think Logan was R. Was Logan R?
Old Man Logan was R.
Yeah.
It was originally going to be PG-13, and then Deadpool came out, and they thought, oh, let's reshoot some scenes. Mm-hmm. And they did. And they included some more cursing, and they reshot some scenes.
And because they did well.
Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds changed the game.
Yeah. Hats off to Ryan Reynolds. We love you, man.
I would like to go back to we talked about the Eternals.
Uh-huh.
Angelina Jolie is playing the lead Eternal.
I remember seeing something about her being in that. I'm not opposed to that at all.
And it brings a lot of star power and gravitas to whatever this movie is going to be.
True.
And I hope that helps lift when you have a less well-known title like the Eternals, you know, compared to Thor or Doctor Strange, then maybe adding that extra star power will help.
Yeah.
So that could potentially go really well.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, I just want to touch base on that. That's the Phase 4 wrap-up.
Okay. Phase 4 wrap-up. Now, with that aside, I think my biggest excitement of news that came out of this, and there were some things that I was pretty stoked for, they have finally announced that Fantastic Four is going to be entered into the MCU. That is groundbreaking, that is monumental, and damn, I excited.
I'm nervous that this is going to be a disaster.
But, okay, so the last one that you and I have discussed in a previous episode, the Fantastic Four reboot was garbage. You saw it, agreed. I did not see it, no, anyway. But that was in Fox's hands. That was not Marvel's. So, do you not trust it being in Marvel's hands this time?
No.
Why?
Nobody bats 1,000. And the Fantastic Four is hard to get right.
Fair, but I mean, I really want to see Reed Richards entered in to the MCU franchise. I mean, well,
the Fantastic Four is the royal family of the Marvel Universe. The Fantastic Four was the number one comic in Marvel for a long time. Mm-hmm. And when they weren't number one, they were top five because it's a family show. It's about a family.
Now, you could almost make the argument that when they enter it in, they could pull a Spider-Man and full-on skip the whole origin story like they did with the reboot with Tom Holland taking the role, because they had just done it so many times. I'm not going to say that everybody out there knows the origin stories of the Fantastic Four like they do Spider-Man, but they could take the opportunity to just be like, okay, they had 3 movies, the last one didn't do very good. We'll do a little blurb up front to just say who they are, but I'm guessing that they're going to be introduced as part of the multidimensional characters. Like, that's the reason we haven't seen them all this time. They were part of a different multiverse, or different universe.
Maybe. Or maybe something else. I mean, if you have a multiversal threat and you need someone smart and Tony Stark is dead, then Reed Richards is... You're a go-to guy.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like a lot of fans are going to be asking the question, okay, so we finally get them, but then how are you going to explain, well, where have they been all this time? Like,
maybe they're brand new. But it leads, now that it's multiversal in the MCU, if you introduce the Fantastic Four, it leaves the potential open for the Council of Reeds, to which I'm a big fan.
I wanted to say that too. I'd be a fan as well. Yeah, for sure.
I would love to see a Council of Reeds scene, even if it was 30 seconds, 15 seconds. My jaw would drop to the floor and I would drool. But if you gave me more than that, I'll take all the Council of Reeds you have to offer.
I agree. We're definitely on the same wavelength for that, for sure.
For listeners who don't know what the Council of Reeds is, Reed Richards is the smartest man in the Marvel Universe in the comics. He figures out how interdimensional travel works. And when the main Marvel Universe Reed discovers interdimensional travel, he finds out that other Reed Richards, other versions of himself in the continuum of the multiverse, have already discovered it. And they've gotten together and created a pocket dimension where they can hang out in like a clubhouse and discuss things that only they're smart enough to discuss because no one else is as smart as them. This group of people is called the Council of Reeds. And they put together their massive brain power to figure out problems that they can't figure out on their own. And the Council of Reeds is very colorful and very interesting. And I recommend going home and Googling Council of Reeds. You will not be disappointed with the image search.
Now, I don't know if you saw or paid much attention to this news break, but this is something obviously that I'm a major fan of. So I'm a huge Superman buff. I follow...
Ew.
I follow...
I'm just kidding. Superman's great.
I follow a lot of different iterations of Superman. Smallville is my all-time favorite show. I'm sure Nate can attest to that.
That's not quite true, but please continue. You do like that show a lot.
It's true for me. I'm not saying that's the best show. It's in my house. It's my favorite show.
Look, listeners at home, wherever you are, home, car, airplane, wherever you are when you listen to the pod, Smallville is not his favorite show. He likes that show a lot. I'd put it in his top three. I wouldn't say it's his number one. But please continue with your story, Silo. I don't want to get into the weeds of your shows right now.
I'm a little scared to wonder what you think my actual favorite show is if you don't think it's Smallville.
Okay, fine. You don't want to let this go? Fine. Okay, we'll talk about it. Okay, Silo. Silo. Number one show for you, Gilmore Girls.
It's not true. It's not at all true at all.
It's true.
Michelle and I do both like Gilmore Girls, but it is not my favorite show by a long shot. Whoa.
You were watching Gilmore Girls long before you met Michelle or any woman outside your mother. You love Gilmore Girls. It's your number one show. And prove me wrong.
When did I ever tell you that was my favorite show?
All the time.
No. Of the year that you and I lived together, there was one show that I think that we talked about the most that spawned many conversations, and that was Smallville. No, that was Smallville.
Gilmore Girls. That's all you ever wanted to talk about.
Okay, he's lying, listeners. I don't know why he's picking on me for this, but let's move on.
Okay.
Back to Superman. So the CW Arrowverse lineup of shows is going to be continuing in their next season for the Crisis on Infinite Earths, I believe, as it's called. And
yes.
Brandon Routh was a former Superman. He was the first person to reprise the role after Christopher Reeve in the movies, playing the same iteration of Superman, but just a different continuation of the storyline. And he's currently now on the show DC's Legends of Tomorrow, and they have announced that within the crossover line of stories, not only is Brandon Routh going to be reprising himself as Superman in that storyline, but guess which version of Superman he's going to be playing?
I don't know.
It's been announced that he's going to be playing the Kingdom Come version of Superman.
Kingdom Come is my favorite version of Superman.
And that's why I'm excited for you.
I'm very excited. I did not know this. And this is fantastic news.
For the listeners, let's reminisce about your reasons as to why Kingdom Come is your favorite Superman. Back, I remember you first introduced me to that storyline. I then read it very quickly after discussing it with you, and I give props to that being your favorite version because it is a very, very good version of Superman in the comics.
Sure. So I don't want to ruin the comics for anyone. You should really go out and read the Kingdom Come comic. It's a great, great comic. But the short is that at some point Superman retires from superhero work, goes and does other things, and the story picks up right before he comes out of retirement. There, I've made a spoiler.
That's something that's very
normal. Normal Superman is between 25 and 40 years of age, usually, or 45. You usually think of him as a adult male in his prime, whether that prime is 30 or 40, 45. He usually tends toward older for Superman because he is a mature adult. You think of him as having a level of maturity about him. In Kingdom Come, Superman is not Batman Beyond old, but older, 50s, 60s, 70s sort of time frame.
Which is interesting because, if I remember correctly, too, even Bruce is in the storyline, and he's much older. But, of course, yes. He's to the point where he needs technology to actually be able to walk around.
Yeah, Clark doesn't age like a human. And the juxtaposition is that, yes, Superman ages slower than humans do, but because he's powered by the sun, every year that he's on Earth absorbing yellow sunlight, he's actually becoming more invulnerable and stronger. So decades have passed in his retirement, but he's not living in a cave, so he's actually stronger than ever. And when you see him emerge from his retirement, people are concerned. And it is debated on whether kryptonite will even work against Kingdom Come Superman because he's absorbed so much solar radiation in his decades of Earth existence. It's beautiful, really. And there's scenes in the comic where his power level is discussed with, depending on the character's perspective, awe, shock, and fear. So it's also beautiful artwork in the comics.
Yes, yes, for sure.
It's really beautiful artwork.
If I remember correctly, I think it's Alex Ross, and he's one like my at least top five favorite artists for sure.
It is Alex Ross. This does pose a problem for the DC TV shows, though, because Brandon Routh is currently playing Dr. Ray Palmer on Legends of Tomorrow. He's playing the Atom, which is a great little superhero. Da-da-tsh.
Yeah, I know, right?
And if he does this, if the actor plays this crossover, how does that fit into Legends of Tomorrow crossovers within the greater DC TV show universe, the Arrowverse, quote unquote? Because they do crossovers at the end of a lot of seasons.
See, and this is the sad thing, because DC's Legends of Tomorrow is one of those list of shows that I've fallen off of watching. I don't want to put down the show at all. I mean, if I had to say there's a weakest link of the Arrowverse, I think that's the one. It's just not one that I felt enamored to watch week to week, but I love the actors on it. I'm a huge Katie Lotz fan. I got to meet her on her very first convention that she ever went to, which was here at IndyCon, which was a lot of fun. I think Brandon Routh getting to be in the DC realm again after playing Superman is a lot of fun too. You've got continuations of characters through their varying seasons that started off on other shows like Captain Cold on Flash. But it's just one that I fell off of watching. But now I feel like I'm going to have to go back and binge so that I can be up to speed, because I really want to see him play Kingdom Come Superman. I think that's a really cool news bit from this weekend.
You won't need to be up to speed on Legends of Tomorrow to watch an actor play a different role.
It's fair. I don't have to, but it's the way that I treat the shows that I watch.
Oh, okay. Devoid of logic.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't mean to be that harsh. I like Legends of Tomorrow. The first season is definitely worth people checking out. The other seasons are less good. I still like them, but maybe not your cup of tea. Season 3 is where it really starts to slip up, because they start changing the casting. But season 1 and even season 2 to a lesser extent are solid. Speaking of television and trailers, if we can get off of the superhero thing. So two trailers I want to talk about. The first is Rick and Morty season 4.
Okay.
I don't know if you watch Rick and Morty.
I do not.
Silo. I watch Rick and Morty. I'm a big Rick and Morty fan, and I'm very excited for season 4. And I hope to get my hands on some of that delicious Szechuan sauce very soon now that Mulan is coming back out. If Disney doesn't get with McDonald's to re-release Szechuan sauce for the new live-action Mulan movie, I don't know what I'm going to do. Riot.
You'll riot?
Protest in the streets. Silo, it's about the sauce.
It's just about the sauce.
Szechuan sauce. It's all about the sauce. There's no point to anything Rick and Morty related if it's not about the sauce. That is the only thing that matters.
Okay.
I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care who has to get hurt. And neither do the rest of the Rick and Morty fans. It's all about the sauce. You got to get your hands on that Szechuan sauce.
Therein lie the barriers. There's too much content consumption because I don't watch Rick and Morty. I know of it. I've never watched a single episode, and I unfortunately do not get the reference.
There's only 3 seasons of Rick and Morty right now, and the seasons aren't incredibly long. So you could totally go in and dive through 3 quality seasons of animation and be in on all the inside jokes. If you think that dark humor about nihilism and the nature of existence is amazing, then this is the show for you.
It says a lot about its audience.
Thank you. The season 4 trailer consists of Jerry, Morty, and an alien discussing some sort of app for ostensibly a mobile device. I thought it was really interesting that Jerry was back, and his interaction between Morty and the alien was very telling. So Jerry is always a spineless nit, and that hasn't really changed. But we see Morty in this trailer continuing the growth that he really solidified in season 3, where he's more sure of himself, he's more aggressive, he's more willing to say what's on his mind to his father or anyone else. And that was really nice to see that growth. I mean, Rick and Morty is at its heart a sitcom, and sitcoms always focus on bringing characters back to zero so that nothing really ever changes. But Morty's development season to season, it is nice to watch.
Fair enough.
The Rick and Morty also released 2 still photographs of the new season, one in which Rick is walking through a field looking very blissful, and one in which he is talking to robotic crocodile people. They don't look exactly like Crocubot, but they could be along the same lines. They really don't tell us anything because, I mean, anything can mean anything. But you should go check them out if you're a Rick and Morty fan.
All I can tell is it sounds like it's, to me, it sounds like it's kind of in the same realm of Futurama. Would that be accurate?
Yeah. So I know you like Futurama, because I know you're a fan of Matt Groening.
Yeah, Futurama's stellar.
So Rick and Morty is darker. So think more Bender and less Fry.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, there are Fry-like characters, but they're just made fun of, and they're the butt of every joke. They're not endearing, lovable lumps. You know what I mean?
Maybe I do need to go check it out.
You should check it out. It's a really well-written program.
The only thing that I know that when I see it at conventions or geek-related swag, when it relates to it, and I have no idea what it has to do with, but it has to do with Rick and Morty, is a pickle character.
Yes.
What's so the pickle?
Rick is the grandfather of Morty. He's also a genius scientist. Mm-hmm. So their interaction is like a darker version of Doc Brown and Morty McFly.
I was going to say that because visually that's what they look like.
Right, so the show grew from a short animation, and the artist was inspired by Marty McFly and Doc Brown, and created a short, and then got into a licensing problem.
Okay.
So then rebranded the characters and then released the short.
Interesting.
And then from that sprung the show. So cool. That is why they look like that. And that's kind of the crux of their relationship.
Okay.
But the Rick, being a genius scientist, in one episode turns himself physically into a pickle. Then he refers to himself as Pickle Rick. And the show depicts the adventures of this pickle version of Rick.
All right. I'm intrigued. I'll have to look it up sometime soon.
Rick considered turning himself into a pickle a better alternative than talking about his feelings with a therapist. The other trailer I want to talk about that's not superheroes is the His Dark Materials trailer. So this is based on a book series.
Okay.
By a British author, Philip Pullman, I believe.
Okay.
And I've read the book series. So the book series is fantastic, and I strongly recommend it. And if you don't read, get a book on tape from Audible, because you can get them for free.
And free is a good price.
And get on Audible, download it for free, and listen to it, because it is a great book series, and I love it. The book series has been heavily criticized for two reasons. One, it is arguably critical of the Catholic Church.
Okay.
But at the very least, it is critical of a monotheistic deity and organized religion.
Okay.
So if you are sensitive to religious criticism, then maybe this is the book series for you. But if your skin is thick enough, or you can critically examine an idea without being offended by it, then this could be something worth looking into. The main point of this fictional universe is that people's souls exist outside of their body. And your soul takes the place or takes the shape of an animal, and the animal represents you and tells you something about that person's character.
Huh.
There was a terrible movie that they made about this book series called The Golden Compass that came out several years ago. I don't recommend seeing that movie. They meant it to be a trilogy, but the movie was so bad and tanked the box offices that they never made the other two. James McAvoy is playing Lord Asriel.
Okay.
And James McAvoy, you know from the
X-Men
movies with Bruce Willis. Yeah, we know him from X-Men as the young Professor X, and we know him from that movie.
Glass and Split, yeah.
Yeah, Glass and Split, exactly.
Yeah.
So he's a great actor, and I'm happy to see him as Lord Asriel. And Lin-Manuel Miranda is playing Lee Scoresby. Lee Scoresby is a great support character in the book series. Lin-Manuel Miranda, we all know from his hit Broadway play, Hamilton. Lord Asriel's soul takes the form of a snow leopard, and Lee Scoresby's soul takes the place takes the form of a jackrabbit.
That's fun.
And they're both good characters. I really like the world building that takes place in the novels, and I'm really looking forward to the show. It's on HBO, so you know they're going to spend the money to make it right.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, so what do you think about a Zombieland sequel?
Very excited about a Zombieland sequel.
I've been waiting for a long... I don't remember when that came out. Was it at least 5 years ago? Maybe a little bit more?
Oh, more.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm a huge Emma Stone fan for sure. That movie was...
Why wouldn't you be?
Yes, that's a very fair point. I just rewatched it. I just rewatched it the other day, and yeah, anything along the lines of Zombieland follow-ups, I'm all for.
Zombieland came out in 2009.
Damn. So yeah,
10 years ago.
10 years ago. Shit. But yeah, I mean, you got to be a fan of Emma Stone, Jesse Eisenberg, and Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, I mean, I could watch zombies be destroyed all day.
Well, and on the topic of zombies, even though it's another show that has fallen off my radar in the recent year, if I read correctly, too, they're supposed to be doing a Walking Dead movie, and Andrew Lincoln's character is supposed to be in it. So that's huge. I don't know if you ever watched any of actual Walking Dead. Yeah.
I have not.
None of Walking Dead?
No.
As much as you hate and not love zombies. I'm surprised you never watched Walking Dead.
It didn't seem to be about zombies.
I mean, that's kind of the thing, and that's sort of what you sell it on for people that are like afraid of zombies and don't want to watch it, but it focuses a lot on character development, the people that are out there trying to survive the zombie apocalypse, but there are zombies. And it focuses on a lot of the topics that you as a zombie apocalypse enthusiast, imagine yourself living out and how you would survive and what decisions you would make in said environment.
That's fair. Maybe one of these days I'll check it out. Whenever I look at a trailer for it, it just doesn't catch my eye.
If you ever get around to it, I'll suggest a specific season to you, because there are, I mean, if you don't care about jumping in the middle of storylines with characters you're not familiar with, there's some fun, you know, holding your ground on the territory that you set up your camp for. So it's a fun show.
Well, next month I won't have a social life, so.
All right.
That might be the time.
Well, all right.
Well, by next month, I mean September.
2 months.
September 2019, I will not have a social life, so.
All right, then we're going to get Nate to watch some zombies.
There you go.
Let's see. I'm down to the bare bones of my list. The only other things that I can throw at you are...
I'm going to get down to your bare bones.
Hush is supposed to be introduced on the Batwoman series coming out this season.
Oh, fun.
Fans of Hush out there. I'm looking forward to a Batwoman series anyway, because I think a lot of Batman fans have been waiting out there for there to be a Batman series that's tied to the CW Arrowverse, now that Gotham's over especially. Of course, since I'm a Spider-Man fan, obviously I like this news. I believe I read that MJ's supposed to get her own title series in the comics, which is cool. She's been shown a lot of covers and different storylines and stuff, so.
Good for her.
And really the only last thing that I wanted to touch on is, Nate, if you haven't checked it out, go watch the footage. If it's still the leaked footage, that's fine. That's what I watched. If they've got more official footage, go watch the Avengers Marvel gameplay of the video game. Because if that is a multiplayer game, if I have to buy it for you, we are going to be playing that online, my friend.
Well, I won't have a social life this fall, so you know, let's game together.
I don't know when it comes out. I'll have to double check that. It might be sometime. But, yeah, I really hope that crosses off all the things on my list that I want a Avengers game to have, because I want a good multiplayer, especially for people that now work remote and want to play with each other in different states, as we are, or different towns or whatever. And each plays their own favorite character on the roster for Avengers. So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that.
And are you going to learn how time zones work at some point?
I hope so.
So that it makes it easier for us to meet up digitally?
Yes. I don't know why I had it in the back of my mind that where you're at is the same time zone.
It's not.
I know now.
It's not. And the West Coast is even a different time zone than now.
I know. I mean, by
more of a gap.
By a huge gap.
Yeah. For fans who don't know, I am moving soon. For work. So I am transferring for work to a new location, and I'm moving from Central Time in Wisconsin to Western Time in Washington State.
And those of us that are still Hoosiers here, we are very unfortunate to have Nate being a little further away from us.
I'm still a Hoosier. You can take the Nate out of Indiana, but you can't take the Indiana out of the Nate. Without, you know, really good prongs and probably a hospital visit.
If you still consider yourself a Hoosier, what's your favorite Hoosier-esque thing?
If I still consider myself a Hoosier, what are you talking about? I was born in the Hoosier State, raised in the Hoosier State, educated in the Hoosier State. I'm a Hoosier forever. My license plate says Indiana. How dare you question my Hoosierness? My Hoosier cred is forever. What's my favorite Hoosier thing? The Colts, yeah. Oh, Indianapolis, okay. Colts, the best sports team in the NFL.
I don't think that you can really dispute that.
Don't come at me with half a thing. You're going to come at me. You better come at me correct.
I really don't think I've got any other San Diego Comic-Con stuff to talk about. There is a lot of stuff going on this weekend, but that is my list.
It's a great list. Thank you for sharing it with me and the rest of us.
I intend to link to a lot of this stuff online for our listeners if you follow us for Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or our website. We'll make sure that if you're interested in any of the stuff that we've talked about today, we'll get you the link so you can go and watch and be a fan of the same stuff we are. What about you, Nate? You got anything else?
No, Salo, I don't.
Okay. I think we can wrap it there then. Thanks for listening, fans.
Thank you for taking this magical journey with us, fanboys and fangirls.
That's all we have for you this week. Thanks, guys. All right, fanboys and girls, there you have it. That's our episode for this week. I hope you all enjoyed it and paid attention to as much of the stuff that we looked at for San Diego Comic-Con as we did this past weekend. There's a lot of stuff to be looking forward to just within the next year and beyond. There's a lot of stuff coming at us, and we're all looking forward to it a lot. I want to make sure that I leave a note for all of our current listeners. This is going to be our last episode for at least a few weeks, maybe a little bit longer, as we work to try and backlog our content so that we can do a better job in the future of scheduling stuff ahead. Since I'm our only editor right now, it's getting a little bit hard to put all this stuff together as a one-man team after we do recordings and stuff. So to make it easier for us and to make sure that we can do this as a weekly installment for our listeners, we're going to take a break and work on backlogging our content so that we've got a good content calendar for stuff to be scheduled better in the future. So stay tuned. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or you can follow our website, but mostly our Facebook page. We should be giving out future notifications to let anybody know that we are going to be dropping our next episode soon in the coming future. So watch our channels there, and we hope to see you again soon. Take care.